Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined on the phone by my boys, JP Ong.
Your husband here,
your
sons were your boys.
Oh, okay. No. I am she who must be obeyed to them. And Jeff Howie from the SGX. Gentlemen, I say this every so often. This has been an interesting week, not just because of the market movements, but because of how much news and how many external factors were pushing or pulling on the markets around the world.
Comeback definitely there, Clarissa, and it is continuing to impact markets. So on the last trading day of the month, the Straits Times Index is back in the red, and it's a small pullback today, down by about 7 points or 0.3% lower. And it seems that with the narrative at least today, one of the questions that are going to be asked are whether or not the Straits Times Index will fall back below 2,500 as it did at the end of the last week. So it seems that the local benchmark is starting to draw a line in the sand in this particular level. Is it sell in May and go away? I know that Jeff and I have had this conversation before where he doesn't really believe in this. What we've seen, at least in some markets, usually around this time, is there's usually a bit of a recalibration and consolidation at certain moments. But there's also a lot of reasons why markets are just being a bit cautious towards the end of the week, because as you mentioned, there's been a lot of elevated and escalated geopolitical tensions once again between the U.S. and China. I mean, take your pick. That plate is full. You've got the coronavirus finger pointing across the Pacific at each other. You have the extradition or potential extradition of Huawei CFO Meng Wanzhou to the United States after a Canadian court ruled that, yes, there is double criminality. This could pave the way for being extradited, of course. Beijing not very happy with those developments also. And also all the recent developments that have centered around Hong Kong and that national security law that's been pushed by Beijing. Lawmakers in China at the end of the National People's Congress have now approved that also. But you're seeing markets so far across the region also reacting quite skittishly to some of this news. Actually, you're seeing markets in mainland China looking fairly stable today. The Shanghai Composite and the Shenzhen Bourse in the green. China just unveiled more than half a trillion dollar economic stimulus plan to help revive the world's second largest economy. This could be just bolstering and boosting sentiment out in mainland China. But the Nikkei 225 finally snapping 4 days of impressive gains. The ASX 200 down by about 0.5%. The Korean KOSPI actually trading just 1 point higher. So nothing really to write home about in Seoul. But so far, the KOSPI is staying afloat for the most part. Taiwan's weighted stock exchange also down by about 14 points. And the Hang Seng still retreating and falling below 23,000 today, 122 points down. We also know that later on this evening, U.S. President Donald Trump said that they are preparing to unveil the response or a potential list of sanctions and actions against China because of that national security law that they imposed on Beijing. And mind you, U.S. lawmakers also recently rolled out approved a bill that's waiting for the president's signature that might sanction Chinese officials for alleged human rights violations against the Muslim minorities in Xinjiang. So, you know, there's just so much for markets to digest, but the big question is, will this start to unravel or reignite a decoupling between the world's two largest economies? Will we see this raise political tension? We've seen the Chinese yuan actually weaken quite significantly in recent times, but so far the Singapore dollar today, at least, is choosing to be positive about the easing of those phase one circuit breaker measures, which are set to be enacted this coming Tuesday. And so far, the Singapore dollar is just a bit, just a touch stronger as compared to recent days. But we know that the Sing dollar, along with the Australian dollar, these are just two currencies that show a lot of sensitivity and a lot of a correlation, at least, to the Chinese yuan's move. So if the yuan starts to weaken again, we could see some more weakness in the FX space moving forward. Again, there's so much we can parse through at the moment. But so far, the Straits Times Index, the good news is at least it's not crumbling today. It's just paring back and just getting a bit of a haircut today, down by about 6.5 points.
Jeff, it seems so long ago since we last spoke last week, and we were looking forward this week to a lot of big news, starting with the announcements from the multi-ministerial task force. But I think one of the things that we're looking at now is that change in the Singapore economy forecast that we got earlier this week to minus four to minus seven. What effect will that have?
Well, look, that so we had the official number for the March quarter come through, the final number, which was a contraction of 0.7% year on year. So that was better than we expected. Obviously, manufacturing of pharmaceuticals has given us a somewhat of a boost, but that forecast was for 2020. They revised that downwards from minus 4 to minus 7%. But then soon after, we've had our fourth budget. So we've had unity, resilience and solidarity, and now fortitude budgets. And that they're providing fiscal stimulus measures equivalent to around one-fifth of our GDP, as Deputy Prime Minister said, close to 20%. Mm-hmm. Now, that's amongst the strongest in the world. I know Singapore hasn't been alone in increasing fiscal stimulus this week. As JP just noted, we've also had Japan as well as China. But as of a week ago, the IMF had the total global fiscal support to fight COVID-19 at $9 trillion, which represents around 10% of global GDP. So we're twice that run rate in our so that puts us in good stead. But overall, I think JP gave a good rundown on the region. I think the region that's had the country that's had a big impact on us this week is Indonesia, particularly with that theme of reopening economies. Jakarta Composite Index is up 4% this week, and that's largely attributed to hopes for reopening the Indonesian economy on schedule. I know Toyota announced its plans to reopen its factory on schedule on the 2nd of June, and that's hence given Astra International shares a boost. And lo and behold, if you look at the best performing STI stock this week, it's actually Jardine Cycle and Carriage, which is up some 10%, and it has also been amongst the top three stocks by net institutional inflow. And just one more thing, if you also look at the iEdge S-REIT index, which is also up close to 4%, which is up close to 4% this week. If you look at which stock's been the best performing in the S-REIT index, it's also an Indonesian play. It's First REIT. That's led the S-REIT index with almost 8% gains. And of course, First Real Estate Investment Trust, First REIT, does generate about 95-96% of its revenue in Indonesia through healthcare assets in the property market there.
Singapore Airlines has had all eyes on it for a while. How did they perform this week?
Well, I'll just lay out what they're doing so far today, Jeff, but you can take a look at the week to date. I just want just a quick update on SIA today. Down by about 1%, but we did see them recover quite a bit on Thursday, that is. Is the downtrend continues, but we're starting to see signs of Singapore Airlines starting to moderate or mitigate some of this the decline that we've seen ever since they made that rights issue recently. As we know, the fortitude budget also taking care of the aerospace sector here in Singapore. I think they're going to be accounting for about 75% of employee wages based on some of the loose details, some of the details that were released just last Tuesday. So Singapore Airlines finding just a few signs of relief so far. Not sure exactly how they're doing actually week to date. Perhaps Jeff can tell us.
Yeah, look, I've got the stock up 4% this week on my screen here. And also looking at the actual institutional inflow into the stock, it saw the fifth largest net inflows for the first four sessions of this week after Ascendas REIT. So that's been some, I guess, developments. But also I think you got to look at the global picture as well. And the U.S., that basically the numbers have been coming through. You've got the Fed chair saying that if the expectation is it should occur this year, but if US GDP is to move back up after what we expect to be really low numbers this quarter, and of course unemployment coming down, the big thing that the US has to do is avoid the second wave of the virus over the next couple of months. So that's what everything is pretty much working on in the US in terms of getting through that, and then looking at the unemployment rate coming back down, as well as growth starting to move back up.
And you're talking about that in relation to when travel can open up again?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean that's the important variable.
That is the question a lot of us are asking as well. A little cabin fever setting in there after these months. All right, now, looking at the week that we've had, there certainly were some bright spots. There certainly were some star performing stocks. But again, the next question is, how have the banks done? Because that's the big fallback for a lot of investors.
Well, the banks have been generally, I think the banking stocks, and generally not just here, but across the world, have actually been quite a bit sluggish, actually, for the last couple of months. We have seen that markets have rebounded. We actually saw the S&P 500 breach 3,000 at one point during this trading week. But many have actually pointed out that the tech stocks in the U.S. have actually done well. Banking stocks there have remained quite low levels and continue to trudge along these lines. The banks here in Singapore so far, I can just give you a snapshot of how they're doing so far today. And the big three are also down just a bit. UOB seeing the biggest losses today. There's about 1% in the red today, Clarissa and Jeff. DBS and OCBC down by about 0.5%. And there are continued concerns that if the ongoing economic fallout of the COVID-19 pandemic continues to mount, we are going to see more companies, especially in the commodity space, start to feel more pressures. We did hear about Pacific International Line being in preliminary talks now with a consortium led by Temasek Heliconia Management, Asset Management, about a possible rescue. They also have accounts the likes of DBS and OCBC as being some of their biggest creditors, and they're on the hook for hundreds of millions of Singapore dollars in terms of loan liabilities extended by DBS and OCBC. So I think one of the big questions also moving forward is, who is next? Will there be someone who's next who might feel these, and will this actually add pressures to the banks? Fortunately, many have actually said that those banking dividends are expected to come down a bit. It's not going to be as bad as what we've seen and we're expecting in other sectors. And that's because they still have strong capital buffer ratios. And the MAS has said basically that the banks here, unlike many of their counterparts across the world, they've said that, you know, if you want to issue dividends this year, go right ahead, but at your own discretion.
Jeff, yeah, next week's going to be a very interesting week. We're looking at the first phase of circuit breaker measures being lifted. Any of that going to have any kind of impact on the market moving forward next week?
Well, yeah, just let me just mention on the banks first that they still have been quite defensive in the week so far. I think that DBS led them, is up 1.7% this week so far, and also was the stock that saw the largest net institutional inflow. So they were also, there was a degree of consistency. So DBS up 1.7%, OCBC up 1.4%, and UOB up 0.9%. For themes going forward, we're going to have a gradual transition, Clarissa, obviously, but where there have, I guess, been defensive returns throughout this period that we've been through in the last 2-3 months, it's obviously consumer staples. I think Wilmar was also one of the strong performers of the STI this week, mm-hmm. and that's also seen its year-to-date decline trim to around minus 4%. And you've seen Shengxiong Group, that's gained 23% year-to-date. JAPF has gained 13% year-to-date. They've been amongst the strongest of the consumer staples stocks. They also, all three, obviously reported comparatively strong March results as well. And these three do have some history of providing some defensive returns back in 2018 and 2016 when we saw STI decline for that year. So, like I said, the transitions will be gradual, but there have been segments that have been able to work with or work alongside what we've been through for the last few months.
One of the segments that everyone seems to be a lot more interested in these days is the healthcare sector. That going to continue to be strong?
Yeah, well, that has been a little bit more than defensive. Obviously, companies that have had to provide medical supplies, medical equipment, have actually performed pretty well. So the theme that we see in Main Street in the economy in terms of biopharmaceutical and medical-related exports driving our exports and our manufacturing and our industrial production, that has resonated, transcended very strongly into the stock market, where we've seen companies that are involved in providing medical supplies or medical equipment specific to the issues that we've been going through over the last few months. Those stocks have not just seen high prices, but they've seen a lot of participation. For instance, if you look at Biolytics, I think this year compared to last year, the turnover in the stock, it is a lot in terms of a lot more kind of interest, a lot more investors looking at these stocks as potential investments over the last few months.
And not to mention also UG Healthcare, which actually was up by about 41-42% since the start of this week.
Yep.
Actually, in fact, the SGX asked them, issued an inquiry asking them if they knew anything about the unusual price movement. But again, the surge in interest in some of these glove manufacturers like UG Healthcare, not entirely surprising because we are still in the middle of this pandemic and demand for these medical supplies will continue. They have all they've really mentioned is that they are still continuing to operate at peak operational capacity to try and meet this growing demand for their products, at least from the medical sector and from the public at large.
You know, I hesitate to ask because when I asked last week, we ended up with a lot of news and a lot of external pressures on the market. What's next week looking like? Is there big news coming out next week?
Well, I think next week itself, at least based on what I'm looking at, is it's going to be PMI data for the most part. Again, at the start of the month, they always wait for production, manufacturing data and factory data from the major economies. So China's PMI data will come out on Saturday. Japan and South Korea will follow on Monday. We do have the Reserve Bank of Australia making their GDP or their rate decision this coming Tuesday, and Singapore's PMI figures also drew out on Wednesday also. And we're just going to keep tracking the ongoing, at least the listing of the circuit breaker measures, or phase one at least of these circuit breaker measures, and whether or not this will just add some positive sentiment to markets and give, you know, traders a bit of a spring in their step.
It's a good time to remind all our listeners that the measures that are being lifted next week are very measured, and it is very important that all of us still are very, very responsible and take safe distancing seriously so that we can move into phase two more quickly. We've been speaking with JP Ong and Jeff Howie from the SGX. This is Market View Wrap. Thank you so much, gentlemen. You have a fantastic weekend. You're on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.